Everybody this morning, we're doing okay. Anyone here in DBK? Got a few kids in DBK. We can go out to DBK right now. We're all doing okay. It's good, good worship team. Because it's all about Jesus. Everything that we do, it's all about Him. So we've been doing a little bit of sharing, talking, teaching, preaching on the Holy Spirit. Our theme for this year is Come Holy Spirit, and my prayer is that we would become more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are we? Loaded question. But that's my heart, and for me as well, is that as we have been, you know, looking at who the Holy Spirit is over the last couple of weeks. So our theme for the year is Come Holy Spirit. And so the last 2 weeks we've had a bit of a dive, not a deep dive, but a bit of a dive into the scriptures of who the Holy Spirit is. And so 2 weeks ago we, not so much discovered, but it was revealed through the Word that the Holy Spirit, He is a divine being. He is God. He makes up the Trinity. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the first person revealed, but He's the third person of the Trinity, the triune God. Back there right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where the Spirit hovered over the waters, right there at creation. And it's interesting, you know, at creation, the whole Trinity plays a part. You know, God spoke the Word. God spoke the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. He was with God and He was God. And we know as you read through John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. So God spoke the Word. In a sense, the Father spoke the Word. I think Paul says in Colossians that all things were created through Christ. All things were created through Christ in heaven and on earth. He is the Word. God spoke the Word and all things were created. God spoke the Word. There's the Father, there's the Son, and it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So all three persons in the Trinity are all working together at creation. We see that at the very beginning. But then we looked last week and we took a bit of a dive last week about the Holy Spirit being a person. So He's not just a thing. You know, He's not just an object, but He is a person. He has a personality. So, you know, He speaks, He thinks, He feels, He has a will, He has a mind. And we heard that He's been called to our side to help us. Jesus used the phrase alos parakletos in John chapter 14. I will send you another helper or another comforter or another counselor. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that I'm going to send you to, He's talking to the disciples here, I'm going to send you another one like myself, exactly the same as myself. And He is going to be with you 24/7. And so the great news is that whom Jesus was to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us today. He's exactly like Jesus. But Jesus was confined to a physical body in a geographical space. The Holy Spirit's not. He's not confined to a geographical space. He's not confined to a physical body. That means I can access and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit anytime I want, even at the same time you guys want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Or where people in Melbourne or in people in New York want a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They can do that because He's not bound by a geographical space or physical body. So it means 11 o'clock at night, if I need help, I've got the Holy Spirit right here with me. That word parakletos, it means called to one side to help, to bring comfort, to be our advocate, you know. And so 11 o'clock at night, I can access the Holy Spirit. And say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. 3 o'clock in the morning, same. Ever woken up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep and, you know, you've gone to the Mrs. Oz, Sharon. Not that you would do this to Sharon, but I've done this to Sharon. You awake? And it's like, yeah, I am now. I'm like, go back to sleep. Well, the great news is I don't have to wake Sharon at 3 o'clock in the morning because I can just go in the lounge room and have a chat with the Holy Spirit. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's there with me 24/7. And I can have fellowship with him 24/7. Isn't that really cool? You need strength. He's there to give you strength. You need comfort. He's there to give you comfort. You need peace. He's there to give you peace. Now, how many times, and we kind of share this same testimony because we've been married for 28 years or so, but how often has it been where we don't know what we're going to eat that night, where we've looked in our pantry cupboard, you know, particularly, you know, early on in our marriage, looked in our pantry cupboard, not a lot in our pantry cupboard, nothing in our wallet, not a lot in our bank account, and then all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. Has anyone experienced this? And someone's put food on the front doorstep. And this has happened to us quite a few times, hasn't it? You know, not knowing what we're going to eat. And all of a sudden, someone's knocked on the door and said, you know what? I felt led by the Lord to make you this meal. Or it's like, I've made too much. So I thought, hey, how about we just bless, you know, Matt and Sharon and the family? The Holy Spirit provides. He knows what you need. I mean, does anyone else kind of have had that kind of testimony before? You've had that experience before? Like, you're in that position, and you think, what are we going to have for dinner? And it's like, well, the kids come first. We've got moldy bread. So they can eat that. But then all of a sudden, yeah, they knock on the door, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, the Holy Spirit knows. He provides for us, just like Jesus provided for those 5,000 people when he provided fish and bread. The Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. He's going to have a bit of old ground, but exactly like Jesus. And we can have fellowship with him like the disciples had fellowship with Jesus. Just a scripture I mentioned last week. Let's just look at this scripture again. I think this is an awesome scripture. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I love this scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. Here in this scripture, the Trinity is revealed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, you can put in brackets the Father, because we know about God's love, John 3:16, the Father sent the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship, you know what it means? For those who weren't here last week, what it means is communion, it means partnership, it means companionship. Communion, partnership, companionship. And it's a relation, very similar relationship to what I share with Sharon. I'm in partnership with Sharon. We're partnering together, raising kids, partnering together as we lead Dream Builders Church. We're in companionship with one another. We talk with one another. We spend time alone with one another. We go driving together. We go on holidays together. That is exactly what Paul is saying about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That we can have this companionship with the Holy Spirit. We can talk to the Holy Spirit, be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can go on holidays with the Holy Spirit. We can go driving with the Holy Spirit. We can wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit's there waiting for us to say hi. Good morning, Holy Spirit. But this morning, I want to share on just another idea of the Holy Spirit and the thought being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Vision Sunday, we actually anointed you guys that you would have power for purpose. And that power for purpose was in the sense of mission. Power for purpose that we would be empowered to take the gospel message, to share the gospel message in our community with our friends, our family, etc. Well, power for purpose doesn't just include like mission. I think there's at least four other things that it includes. So you've got mission, or you've got witness, that we would be empowered to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ outside of our community here and in the community of Circular Head. But also we've been empowered for service. empowered for service. That means, you know, when Paul writes about the gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, we've been given gifts, we've been given spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ, that the body of Christ would be built up. So we're empowered to serve one another. So empowered to share the gospel message, to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community, but also we're empowered to serve one another. And this is a good thing about Steve McCracken coming here. He wants us to develop, one of those sessions is developing your prophetic gift. And, you know, that may not be something that kind of, like, you know, suits you or, you know, doesn't really rub you the right way. But Paul talks about, he says, I wish we could all prophesy. And so he would give you techniques on how to hear from God that you would be able to use that gift to be able to bless someone in our church community. Even use it to someone outside the church community in a sense as a witness or an evangelism tool. So I'd encourage you to be, you know, come along to that session. But also, we're empowered to live a holy life. Holiness. He's the Spirit of holiness. And so he empowers us to live a holy life. That whole life about sanctification, you know, becoming more like Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever heard there's a move of God that's happening in America at the moment? At Asbury, what is it? The university there. And many reports are coming out are saying that that's a move of holiness. It's like a holiness move where people are coming and they're just confessing all their sin and, you know, wanting to get their hearts right with God. It's like a holiness movement. We've been empowered to live a holy life. Peter, 1 Peter says, be holy for God is holy. That's a command for us to live holy lives. And lastly, it's to live in victory. We've been empowered to live victoriously. Jesus won the victory at the cross, and we get to walk in that victory, but we need to be empowered to walk in that victory. So a couple of illustrations I want to just throw up to you here. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, but I want to use a metaphor of the Holy Spirit, and that metaphor is wind, or the wind. I'm going to specify the today. The Holy Spirit as the wind. So just an illustration here. Katie Spotts and Laura Decker, they both have a lot in common. Both are endurance athletes. Both have boats. Both made headlines when they completed solo trips. Katie across the Atlantic, Laura around the world. Yet for all they have in common, there is one massive difference. One road and the other one sailed. So one road, the other sailed. So Katie Spotts, I don't know if we've got a photo of Katie. I don't know if we've got that up. Is she there? There you go. 23-year-old Katie rowed her boat from West Africa to South America. The trip was nearly 3,000 miles long and required 70 days, 5 hours and 22 minutes to complete. Her 19-foot wooden yellow craft was built to withstand hurricanes and 50-foot waves. She was spared the hurricanes. However, the waves kept her up at night. She rowed 8 to 10 hours a day and battled painful calluses. Oh, my goodness. I don't think that was the only painful thing she was feeling in her body. Imagine the arms, the shoulders, the back, the legs. 8 to 10 hours a day fighting against 50-foot waves, fighting against the current. Maybe the wind itself. Now, Laura Decker, on the other hand, harnessed the power of the wind. In 2012, she became the youngest person to circumnavigate the globe solo. We've got a picture of her up there. There you go. She completed her journey in 1 year and 5 months. During her trip, she had to sidestep reefs and survive numerous storms. That's pretty incredible, eh? Two young females going out on a boat alone and doing something as incredible as that. But can I just tell you, they don't inspire me at all to jump into a boat. Sorry, Katie and Laura, if you're listening online. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they don't inspire me at all to get in a boat from the Duck River and row all the way to Port Phillip Bay. They don't inspire me to stay in a boat for, well, Katie was like 2.5 months. Laura was like nearly 1.5 years, solo, alone, on the water. Some may like that, but that ain't me. I'm not inspired by that, but it got me thinking. It got me thinking using those two examples as, in a sense, analogies of my own life, my own walk with the Lord. How am I living my own life? Am I living my own life walking with the Lord in a rowboat, rowing, row, row, row your boat, gently down the stream? It's not really gently down the stream, rowing in the wild waters like the Atlantic. Or am I living my life in a sailboat and allowing the wind to propel me to do what God has called me to do, allowing the wind to propel me to walk in victory, to be everything I'm called to be? The choice is mine. The choice is also yours. How are you walking this journey with God? In a rowboat or in a sailboat? Just think about some of the things that we've been called to do in the Bible. And Jesus says some of these things. Care for the poor. Care for the needy. Comfort those who hurt. Love one another. Love your enemies. Forgive one another. Forgive your enemies. Accept one another. Read the word. Read the word daily. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Serve unselfishly. Honor your leaders. Honor your bosses. Find gifts and use them to serve the church community. Share the gospel with the lost. Control our tempers. Control our greed. Control our tongue. Whew. I'm just tired reading that out. That's wearing me out. Does anyone else feel tired just hearing those commands that we find in the Bible? Let's have a look at Nicodemus. How are you living? How are you walking this journey that God has called you on? Is it a rowboat, in a rowboat, or is it in a sailboat? Rowboat Christianity or sailboat Christianity? Let's look at Nicodemus in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a religious leader, high up in the religious circles in back in first century Israel. And you might consider him to be someone like an archbishop or a bishop in the Catholic or Anglican Church, someone who has high standing. And Jesus said these words to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 7. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Here is Jesus using the metaphor of wind in reference to the working of the Holy Spirit. The thing about wind is you can't see the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. So you can't see where the wind is coming from or where it's going, but you can certainly see the effects of the wind. On Thursday afternoon, I put our bins out on the road here on Thursday afternoon. It was a windy day. And I've walked back up the little driveway into our car park, and I heard this almighty noise. And I looked around, and there's our wheel bins cartwheeling down Rifle Range Road, doing cartwheels. Rubbish is going everywhere. So I had to go and like go back and grab the bins and grab all the rubbish, put the rubbish back in the bins and position the bins, you know, so hopefully they wouldn't blow over again. And so we came past on Friday morning thinking, oh, the bins are still standing up. Thank the Lord. Imagine that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning. Holy Spirit can't wake me up then. It's like I'm dead asleep at 3 a.m. But you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. We can't physically see the Holy Spirit, but we see the effects of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the change or a changed life. You know, we see the impact and the effects of the Holy Spirit, but we don't necessarily see the Spirit. So, in a sense, that's what Jesus is saying. And he's using that metaphor, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. But let's have a look at this passage in a bit more context. We'll read from verse 1 in the Amplified translation. It says, now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, member of the Sanhedrin among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi or teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these things, these wonders, these attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, that is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? I love this kind of passage. You know, this really, I get excited about stuff like this. Nicodemus, you know, he's mentioned here, he says about four sentences. And behind his sentences, he's saying things like, how can, no one can, he cannot. So, for example, no one can do the miracles that Jesus does. It's humanly impossible. No one can be born when they're in old age. It's humanly impossible. No one can enter into his mother's womb. Again, it's humanly impossible. And so here you get this idea about Nicodemus, you know, as a leader of the Sanhedrin, you get this idea that Nicodemus was striving. It was human effort. It was about human achievement to experience God's kingdom. And Jesus says, that ain't true. That ain't so. You cannot experience God's kingdom through human effort. You will not experience a relationship with God through human achievement. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot strive. You cannot strive to take a step and experience the kingdom of God. It just doesn't happen through human effort. Here, when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, he's talking about a relationship with God. It can't happen through striving, through human effort, and through human achievement. That's why Jesus says in Luke 18, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than it is for a rich man, something like that. Than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciple says, well, who can be saved then? He said, well, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus is not saying rich people aren't going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that you can't buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. You can't buy your way into a relationship with God. It's not about striving. It's not about effort. It's not about human achievement. It's impossible for mankind. It's impossible for us to have a relationship with God. It has to be something that God does for us, and he has through what happened at Calvary on the cross, and also that he gave his Holy Spirit to us. What is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Yeah, we get to know. I think we know that. We all know that you know, salvation is a gift from God. We all know that it's a free gift from God. We all know that salvation, you know, God's grace is enough. We don't need God's grace plus human effort for our salvation. We know that Jesus' blood is enough. It's not Jesus' blood plus human achievement. We know that God's grace is enough. The blood that was shed was enough for our salvation. But you know what? We're a peculiar type of people. We're a bit strange. Because even though we receive that free gift of salvation, we still tend to fall into striving and human effort to get those things done that God has called us to do, like love your neighbor and forgive your enemy and accept one another. We can tend to fall into human effort. And you know what? When we're doing our Christian journey, our Christ walk, walking with Jesus by human effort, it just wears us out. Can you imagine being Katie in a boat, little rowboat, and is it traversing? Is that the word? Yeah, from West Africa to South America. How tired and exhausted would she have been? 8 to 10 hours a day rowing, 50-foot waves, fighting 50-foot waves, maybe strong winds, currents, strong currents. And I don't think it'd be just her hands that would be sore or calloused, but as I said earlier, it'd be her arms, her shoulders, her back. It just takes too much effort. Doing this What Jesus has asked us to do, if we're doing it in our own strength, if we're doing it in our own effort, our own human achievement, it will just wear us out. We're in the end of what, last weekend in February. How many people are feeling tired? Maybe we need to have a look at, well, where are we positioning ourselves? Are we positioning ourselves in rowboat Christianity, or is it sailboat Christianity, where we've been propelled by the Holy Spirit? He empowers us to live this life that we've been given by Jesus Christ. He empowers us to live a life of victory. He empowers us to do the things he's calling us to do. Can't do this in our own strength. Sharon mentioned Zechariah. That was in prayer meeting, was it? Anyway, she mentioned Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We can't do anything in our own strength. Can't do anything in our own power, human effort. It has to be by God's spirit. I wonder if I get the band just to come up. I just want everyone to just stand just for a moment. And I just want you to stop, and I want you just to think for a moment. What is it that you're doing that is wearing you out? What is it that you're doing or wearing you out? Or what is it that you're trying not to do that is wearing you out, that is making you tired? It's possible that you're living rowboat Christianity. What other things are you trying to do in your own strength, in your own human effort? Loving your neighbour, loving your enemy, forgiving your enemy, reading the word, fasting, praying, breaking a bad habit, controlling the tongue. We'll get some keys going next, bro. Awesome. Have a think. What is it that you're doing that is causing you to become tired, to become exhausted, that's causing you to wear yourself out? Jesus is asking you to get out of the rowboat and to climb into the sailboat. Hoist the sails and let the wind of the Spirit empower you to do the things you can't do in your own strength, to empower you to live a victorious life. Rowboat Christianity exhausts, it tires us out, it frustrates us. It just wants to make you throw your hands up in the air and give up. Now, life has many storms, and we know that. But how are you navigating the storms? Through with a rowboat or with a sailboat? We can't do the things that God is calling us to do in our own human effort and our own human strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the great news is, over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, how he's been called to our side, that he's with us 24/7, that he never leaves us, never forsakes us. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He is there ready for you to ask him, I need your help. I need your strength. I need you to move and propel me forward. I need you to break these chains. If you feel that you're in bondage to fear or an addiction, a bad behavior, he's there to set you free. Acts chapter 1:8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's a supernatural power from heaven that we have at our disposal. But it ain't going to work if we're in a rowboat. That power, in a sense, doesn't help us if we're in a rowboat. If we're like Nicodemus and everything's got to be about human effort and human achievement, and it's about striving. But in a sailboat, it's allowing the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to propel us forward. to the places where God wants us to go, to do the things that God is asking us to do. Just with every head bowed, just with your eyes closed this morning, if you feel that you're in a rowboat, today you feel, man, I'm in a rowboat and I've been trying hard to do this one thing and it's just wearing me out. Or you feel that it's about this Christian walk, it's about striving, it's about human effort. I want you to take a physical step, but just as a prophetic declaration to say that, you know what, I'm getting out of this space and I'm moving into the space where the Spirit can just propel me to do the things that He's caused us to do, that the Spirit will just empower me to do what God is asking me to do. He will empower me and give me the words to say when I'm in those situations, when I'm either sharing my faith or I need to give an answer. He can help us with wisdom and discernment. So if that's you, you can just stay in your chairs. But if that's you, I want you to take a step and say, you know what? I'm leaving the rowboat and I'm jumping into the sailboat and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to propel me this morning. So maybe just dip the lights a little bit, Damo, and just want to encourage you, if that is you this morning, where you are, take a step. Just take a step to say, you know what? I'm done with human effort. I'm done with trying to strive in this Christian life that God has called me, you know, He called me into. He's called me to live a victorious life. You know what? I'm going to step into that. I'm going to allow Holy Spirit that You would just come and that You would just propel me by Your power so that I can achieve and do those things that You've called me to do. Just for those who have made that step, I pray, Lord, this will be a new day in their walk with You, God. For those who have taken that step out of that rowboat into the sailboat, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would just fall afresh on them again. Holy Spirit, that You would just empower them and they would feel and experience Your power. Lord, that they would be bold and they would take steps and leaps of faith, Lord. That they would find, even if they find themselves in places where, you know, they need to give an answer just to some curly questions, Lord, that You are there, that You're empowering them, that You're the one speaking through them. I pray, Lord, from this day forward, that we'd be a people who are propelled by Your Holy Spirit, that we'd be a people who live sailboat Christianity and not rowboat Christianity. Lord, that we would be a people that just, we go from point A to point B. It would be effortless because we've been empowered by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just this, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you want to give you an opportunity to make that decision this morning, spoke about Nicodemus, spoke about Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You cannot access the kingdom of God through human effort, through striving. It's not something you can do in your own strength. It's purely a move of God. It's purely a work of the Spirit. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord and you want to have a relationship, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, just want to put up your hand now. I'd love to pray with you this morning. This is the greatest gift that you will ever receive, the gift of salvation. The gift that secures your eternity. The Bible talks about, you know, we go one of two ways. We go either the, as ACDC said, the highway to hell. And there's many people who are traveling that road. Or we take the narrow path and go through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. We go through the narrow gate. Our eternity is secured. We get to be with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. So if that's you, you want to put up your hand, I'd love just to pray with you this morning. If not, just want to pray a blessing over your church this morning. Just pray God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. So we pray for God's peace, which Hebrew word is shalom. God, shalom over your life. Do it. Do a bit of homework this week and look up the word shalom. It will blow you away what it actually means. I don't have my other Bible here, which is actually I've written it all down, but I just pray God's shalom, God's peace over your life and over your family in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to head back to the band and we can finish with a song.